I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back, and it's Scotty 97.5, 12 into the zone. Will Snowden comes into studio and just starts chewing me out.
Yeah, he did.
We already missed on one? This is a big miss?
Listen.
You turn up this little one, and it'll
let me make sure that everyone can hear me. I'm not going to be treated like this, hands up, the first day. You know, I come into the studio, I enjoy it. I'm always concerned when I come out with without my right-hand man, Scotty, but I know he's taking care of business, and you attack me. I do have concerns that I've voiced with you, but I wouldn't say I just, you know, I think I've handled myself professionally.
So Jacob Robinson, he's a dog. There's no question. He's a pit bull. It's just hard. I mean, when you're putting, you know, we need to. I tried to talk Scotty into expanding this to 120 and 120.
Give me anxiety, dude. Don't do that.
Getting 60 is tough enough. Jacob Robinson absolutely is a baller. He's a beast. I know he dealt with a couple of different injuries. I know he's a transfer, right?
Transfer from Utah State.
Utah State started at Utah State, didn't he?
Yeah, started Utah State as a freshman. Prepped his prep ball was played at Orem High School. So maybe what we need to do, and I can't remember how you and Scotty do it, but maybe you need to have a watch list or something. That watch list to talk about some of the other players, because you know 60. You know, there's a lot of good players. There's a lot of good players in this state, and you know, Jacob's a freshman All-American. You know, he has that was his true freshman year, because his freshman year was at Utah State with the COVID year.
Yeah.
So
all kinds of restricted.
Yeah. All very restricted,
bumps and issues. And that was a really tough time for Utah State too, right?
It was a bad year.
It was a bad year.
You didn't go well.
But, yeah.
But they bounced back, you know. So yeah. You got the championship last year, so.
Going through this list and seeing some of the names that were off it, Will. Like, for instance, Connor Pay didn't make it. I think Connor Pay has a chance to be an NFL offensive lineman eventually.
For sure.
Devin Kafusi didn't make it for the University of Utah. And Devin has been playing college ball in this state for – feels like 20 years, you know.
Yeah.
Started at BYU. He's made the transfer over. Joe Tukuwafu didn't make it at BYU. He didn't make the 60 list. So it's hard because there are some big-time talent. You know, and Robinson's right there in that list, in that pool. It's like, Jeez, man, what do we do?
Well, we'll just see. I mean, the tape will come on early in September. Everyone will see it, and you know, we'll go back to the drawing board for next year. I'm not completely angry about it. A little disappointed. I feel like he did enough to be in that 60.
Three interceptions.
Three interceptions. You know, he tackles well.
Is he full nickel? Well. Is he all nickel? Or
he played pretty much full nickel. They played him at safety too. He started five games at safety. The kid is a dog. Yeah. I mean, he can really play the game, and he's a guy that...
Didn't he have two in one game? Did he have two interceptions in one game?
He might have.
Let me pull it up. I've got his game by game.
Yeah,
he did.
Right?
Against Georgia Southern. No. Sorry.
No.
Yeah, two interceptions against Georgia Southern.
Okay.
And then he had one against Utah State, his former team.
Yeah, he had a real nice one against Utah State. And one of the ones that he had against Georgia Southern was featured nationally on... From Randy Moss.
Oh.
It was the number one play.
You got Moss?
Yeah, Moss. It was a nice interception. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, you didn't recognize him, and that's okay.
No, we are recognizing him. Yeah, that's a good thing. I wanted to give some of these people love. And, you know, I was going back and forth with Kalani Sitake today, our former teammate. And by the way, dude, he's got a nice setup down there.
It's comfortable.
Oh, I got to see his snack and drink room. If I could just have one of those, I just want a snack and drink room like that, like fridge packed full of every delicious drink, ice cold, perfect temperature, a full wall of every different snack that you could imagine.
Oh yeah, and you have the protein bars too.
Yeah, you got the Built Bars.
So it delivers everything that you would want. I mean, I've been to Kalani's office, and that's not what moved me, but I understand. I understand where you're coming
from. The snack room didn't move.
It didn't move me. I mean,
the first thing I said to Kalani when I pulled in, I said, hey, old teammate, show me that snack room. And he's like, come with me. And he got this grin like, oh, he's going to love it. He knew I was going to love that snack room.
Of course. It is special. And, you know, I've seen a lot of great snack rooms around the country. And Kalani's is up there. I mean, BYU does a great job.
You've been traveling around a lot.
Quite a
bit. With your son. And for those of you out there that don't know, Smith Snowden, probably top three recruits in the state, probably listed as number one on most publications in the state.
Yeah, as a corner for sure. We've done some traveling. We just actually got back from Northwestern. What an experience. I mean,
when you travel around to these different, you know, Big 12, Big 10, and I know you've been through all these because this is your world. You work in recruiting. And so you've been in most of these facilities. How do our facilities in the state stack up to even a Northwestern?
We stack up, but there's still some work. Yeah, those Big Ten facilities are ridiculous.
Are they still ahead?
Northwestern's is by far the nicest one I've ever seen. I haven't been to Bama. I have not been to Bama or Clemson.
But you've been to USC.
I've been to SC.
Yeah, you've been to USC recently.
Recently,
you've been to Oregon.
Oregon, been Oregon. The whole.
So you're saying Northwestern even has some edges on you know your top two. What we call
nice
money schools.
It's as nice as it comes. I mean, first off, the indoor facility sits right on the. It's just absolutely gorgeous. It sits right on Lake Michigan. There's a beach. They have their own beach that's connected to it, where the students come out and enjoy themselves. It's just top notch. But at the end of the day, all of these programs have really top notch facilities. BYU would be a little bit below, some of the facilities I've seen for sure. Northwestern. I mean, it's ridiculous. So you can go online and take a look. It's pretty special.
I do think, and I think that there are at least some plans in the works for BYU to beef things up a bit. I remember. Lloyd, do you remember some of the announcements BYU made about their facility? Don't they have something on the horizon that they're putting in?
I think they do. I don't know. Remember what the details
are. Remember
were,
the specifics. But I think BYU is probably going to step up to the Big 12.
Yeah, you're going to have to. I mean, that's just how it is. That's the name of the game. That's the name of this the new era of recruiting. These kids are seeing, you know, everything that you can imagine, from mental strength coaches, like truly a mental strength coach, on staff, full-time staff that only deals with football.
That they have access to.
No, not access. They only deal with football.
Really?
Yeah. So when you start looking at those things, they're dropping the dimes to make sure that their players have every single thing they can imagine. And for me, obviously, I come from a older school where we, you didn't get all of the things that they have, and didn't have access to the same level of facilities and the special treat rooms and the special drinks and the, granola bars, protein bars.
Just the food alone.
The fresh fruit, the fresh vegetables, beef. Oh, my goodness.
I used to have to – what was that little place inside BYU in the inner track? Every once in a while you could get a grilled cheese out of there.
Yeah, I got a few good burgers and the grilled cheese.
In the Smithfield House in the inner track?
Yeah, it's totally
but we were scrounging for food.
I'll tell you, and your son is a smart kid, I work with him, do every single thing I can to get certain opportunities, but the Northwestern opportunity was ridiculous. For you, you would be in heaven. You do not walk anywhere without seeing food.
Oh, really? Northwestern has it everywhere?
It's everywhere. You walk down the halls and there's snacks.
What is, in a big-time recruit like your son with Northwestern, what is the academic requirements for a kid of that level recruit? And I'm talking Northwestern, because Northwestern is notorious for, and Wisconsin is notorious for it too, not allowing recruits based off of grades.
Oh, yeah. So one of the things you can look at is one thing that I'll start educating my clients on even more is Northwestern, just to understand how hard it is to get into the school, there's 40,000 applicants a year and 2,000 get in a year.
Ooh,
That's
a huge disapproval rate.
it's heavy.
A lot of kids getting a no thanks.
Yeah. So it's just a lot. I mean, it is what it is. As far as academically, you're going to need to be a 3.75 kid as a football player to be really sniffed aggressively there. Northwestern has out 54 offers total. If you look at the offers of any other school in the country, 54 total offers. From sophomores, freshmen,
is that
juniors.
Because their pool's limited? Because their pool's limited. They cannot offer a lower academic.
Athlete. So, and it's not that they couldn't offer someone who's under a 3.75. Their team GPA is a 3.34. So the kids who go there are serious about the academics, but the way that they do their recruiting is differently. They just don't throw out a ton of offers. Yeah. They offer a certain level of kid. So it's a blessing to have that offer and to have that opportunity in front of Smith.
You know, when I was talking with Coach Satake this morning, we were getting a bunch of the 1660 info and all those things wrapped up. When I was talking with Coach Satake, Kalani was on his mission. You and I came in together as freshmen. Kalani joined us and he was in our senior group.
Yeah.
He said that now your academic enrollment as a BYU student athlete is quite a bit more strict and intense than it was when we came out.
Oh, much more. I don't know if you would be that at Brigham.
I pulled a 3.2 out of Weezer. I don't know.
Like I said, I don't know if you would be at.
I brought that 20 ACT with me.
Yeah, no. The only way I got into BYU actually is because of my SAT. I'll be honest, I was a 2.95 grad. Mm-hmm.
Because I know during COVID, they buried the ACT requirements.
And it's still buried right now.
Oh.
It is buried right now. The NCAA has it buried.
Do you think they'll bring that back?
I hope they don't. I really do hope they don't. I guess you kind of look at it in two ways, depending on what your son's score is. You want it and you don't. But I don't give the ACT or the SAT a lot of weight on how smart a kid is or what he can do with his life or how successful he can be. So for me, I'm glad with it being buried.
Just so everybody understands, in the world of recruiting, there's a sliding scale. If I come in with a 2.7 GPA, but I pulled a 28 ACT, My academic scale will slide.
Yes.
Or if I come in with a 3.8 GPA, but I came in with a 17 ACT, I can still slide. It's a sliding scale. So they used to use it that way. And then with the uprising of COVID and all the issues, they buried the ACT and they now primarily just use your GPA. Is that right?
Yeah. GPA is what they're looking at. I mean, I think that schools still will look at ACTs. I mean, kids are still going to take the ACT. And I do think that it's important for coaches to understand what type of, I mean, if you are someone who does well on the ACT, I think there's something to get for that. Maybe you can prepare and you can be effective. But at the end of the day, I think the grades are most important to evaluate what a kid is doing in school, how he's applying himself. And I think the ACT just doesn't do a great job of really this is who the kid is because he got this or he got that. So. But, you know, it's exciting times right now. Recruiting is crazy. NIL is crazy. I can't wait to just kind of talk more about how this thing is working. And
well, let's jump into that a little bit. And for those of you that are just tuning in, Will Snowden, former BYU running back, he's owned and operated Alpha Recruits for a lot of years. He has worked with my son. You've known him since he was born. And is currently working with my son, does a lot of great work here in the state to increase and improve awareness of our in-state recruits. And a lot of why we're seeing Utah turn into more of a recruiting juggernaut is because of services like Will. So, Will, I know you're very tuned in to the recruiting scene. How much are you getting recruits now come to you saying, because you place a lot of guys at BYU or Utah
have a lot of guys.
Southern Utah. How much are those guys coming back to you and saying, hey, Coach Snowden, what about this name, image, and likeness? Are you getting a lot of that?
A lot. I mean, we talk with all of – so the thing I love most about what I do is it's not – I get to know these kids, right? So I want to be able to know our kids. So when I speak to coaches, I actually am just – it's not just here's the height, here's the weight, here's the speed.
Yeah.
'Cause we can talk about that, but that's a quick conversation. Now I want to talk about who this kid is, who his parents are, where he comes from, how he will make the program better the first day he steps in. The way that we do that is by training. We work kids out every week. We, you know, talk to them and know them, try and get out and watch them play as much as possible. But now, so once they leave, all of those guys come back. So I've got guys coming back that will be training with us tomorrow. You know, Drayden does a lot of training with a lot of the DBs in the state of Utah. And then we bring back our college guys.
By the way,
guys.
That's Will's son.
Yeah, and then we bring back our college guys, and we'll just get back to work. So we'll be training all summer while they're here, working on helping them get better, bigger and faster. So we do talk to them, and we're putting together nice plans to help them be worth more in the NIL world. Because we weren't really prepared for it. We weren't prepared for it. Like, for example, the guys who are now being affected of it, we've placed those guys in the last 1 to 3 years. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So all the older guys are kind of either done playing or they're seniors. And so what
they
we're
don't
trying
get to
do,
take advantage.
Yeah, we're trying to get these guys who are still young. How do we actually help you go to the next level without trying to, you know, because it's a very simple concept. You have to be worth something to get something.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. So we want to be more effective with educating them on how to build social media platforms stronger, how to represent themselves better. Because and actually for us, identifying what their strengths are. So when I call, let's say, a local car dealership and say, hey, I have a kid that I would like you guys to look at NIL, the first thing they say to me is, okay, great, send me over his social media platforms. So that's the first question they ask because we've started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So they
just want to know the touch that they've got.
What the reach is, and also that they don't represent themselves like idiots, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's something else.
Yeah,
that,
on there with some stupid posts,
things that aren't going to be
degrading women or something.
Anything. I mean, whatever those things are, they want to make sure that these kids can represent their company well, because there is a lot that goes with these kids. I mean, they are stars, and they have a pretty good following, and if they can market themselves right, they can make quite a bit of money.
It's one aspect that if you are a parent of a young up-and-coming athlete, that's one aspect that you really need to pay attention to, how they work their social media and how they present themselves, because it really does have a large reach, and eventually it will have some effect on their standing. So, Will, I'm not going to ask you by name here in the state of Utah, but, you know, we've got 3 D1 FBS programs. We've got 3 D1 FCS.
Yep.
Is it because Dixie State's coming into FCS?
Yeah, Utah
Tech's coming in. So you've got 3 D1 FBS, 3 D1 FCS programs. Are you seeing a pretty broad range between them and how they're using NIL?
For sure.
Like you're seeing one university use it way better than another or misuse it? Or
I think that all of them are doing a good job. Everyone is still, you know, NIL is still new. So guys are doing every single thing they can to make this thing go. From my opinion, BYU has done a very good job. Obviously, when the Built Bar deal is the biggest deal that kind of got the whole NIL opportunity put together, where a company wants to really sponsor kids use them for their business. And so I think BYU's done a good job. And at the end of the day, all of these schools are hiring out the right people who understand this, because once again, football coaches don't, that's not what they understand. I mean, you know, the head coach does some marketing, but you don't see you don't see Morgan Scally doing commercials, right? But mm-hmm. you see Coach Witt. You don't see Morgan Scally on billboards, but you see Coach Witt, you see mm-hmm. Coach Satake. I mean, that's so. That isn't even in their that's not their wheelhouse of how they market. I think all of the college coaches are seeing the benefits of a large following, though, because the large following through social media, you know, you'll see some of these coaches who spend more time tweeting and talking, and you see the age groups of those, right?
Seeing an increase on some of those.
So it's starting to get, you know, so I think the coaches are going to start, because it makes them more valuable, not only to their fan base, but other fan bases across the country. And at the end of the day, all of these coaches are in this for – this is business, to feed their families. They love to coach football, but they do want to feed their families. The bigger the following, the more people hearing what they say and hearing what they stand for means, hey, you know what? This Sharif Shaw is pretty interesting, the things that he puts out and what he says and the technical side of how he teaches. Mm-hmm. That makes people like LSU and the biggest schools in the country come knocking with big offers.
Or you know, Morgan Scally has been sending out video of his NFL prospects.
Yeah.
You know, and breaking down video, and then Sharif is retweeting it saying, take a look at these aspects. I've seen that usage more than I've seen in the past.
Yeah, sure. And I think it's going to get even more and more. And I've seen a lot of coaches, you know, a lot of coaches get a lot of jobs just based on that. I mean, someone sees that, another coach sees it, an AD sees it, an assistant sees it. And, you know, for example, Mark Atawaya, he's one of the greatest social media. Right, he obviously is known as a great coach.
Washington State now.
Yeah, he's at Washington mm-hmm. State. He does these Freestyle Fridays, and he raps. He brings his family involved, so it gives you a feel of who this coach is, what he stands for, and that he's a hip guy. I mean, so a lot of people want to follow that. You need to watch him. He put out a pretty cool Freestyle Friday today.
What his wife was
Freestyle is where you rap. I know you, Weezer. So that there's this music that's called rap, and so he actually raps hands.
I think you had me freestyling back in the day a couple times,
and it was a disaster.
Pretty sure you and Ronnie were like, all right, we're gonna give you the beat. We're going to lay down this beat. It didn't go well. No. It wasn't Mark Atawaya. Doesn't he have it? Wasn't his wife like an agent for Run DMC or something?
No. His wife is the lead singer of the Jets.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, lead singer of the Jets.
Way off.
I mean, agent for Run DMC. Where does he even come up with these things? But I can respect it. But, you know, the NIL.
Mark is good at that for sure.
He's unbelievable at it. And the NIL is more.
Well, Kalani's killing it with his dancing.
I mean, look at this guy.
You see that? It's like 3 million views on this dancing dads.
Yeah. And I'll be honest.
Tell me that. That's ripping the guts. Look, know, I freestyle better than they dance.
Yeah, because for me, you know, every time I see him dancing, I'm thinking to myself, what is Coach Chow thinking right now? I know he has to just be, what in the
Come
world?
On
what are you doing? No, you don't. You're a football guy. Coach football. No,
well,
but,
football.
But yeah, no.
Well, you think back to our coaches, you know, Norm Chow, Lavelle Edwards. Think about them having to run a social media account. Lou Pell, think about Coach Pella. Like, Coach Pella is having to run.
It just wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen. I mean, yeah. So
Tom Ramage trying to put out some videos would be pretty incredible.
Oh, and just Ramage having to talk to these kids, because you do talk to kids a lot through social media.
Yeah.
Direct messaging and things of that nature. And those guys just, there's a reason that it's just not their time.
Will Snowden, former BYU running back. He runs and operates Alpha Recruits, does a great job. A lot of 7-on-7 tournaments, and just kind of operates, helps linemen develop. I know Dustin Reichert, former BYU offensive lineman, he's going to be working with my son tomorrow. Like, these guys just continue to develop, you know, good
and,
talent.
And that's state. What it is. Yeah. I mean, really, at the end of the day, there's so much talent in the world, right? And there's, but it just needs to be developed.
Yeah.
And if the kids want it and they're willing to work, there's a place for them to play. And people come.
There's
to,
a lot of places.
There's
to play.
A lot of places to play. Now I'll tell you, there's 249. FBS and FCS schools, 124 FBS, 125 FCS. You're looking at 249 schools. Just in the state of Utah, we have 380 public schools. So that's 380 football teams. That doesn't talk about the private schools, right? So there's a lot of schools, so it's very, very competitive. And so people just have to understand, like, you've got to go out there and get the work.
You
got to
work.
And if you're willing to work, willing to bite the bullet for your kid, it is what it takes. Because once you start really breaking down the numbers, if you think your son is just a D1 guy, well, there's only 124 of those schools. And you have 50 states. Just in the state of Utah, you have 380 public schools.
And those scholarships are becoming worth cash in your hand.
Cash
name, in your image, and likeness.
Without it, and then also, then you throw in the portal with guys being able to transfer straight over. It really does affect the numbers of how your son has an opportunity.
We'll come back. We're going to talk about what's happening right now in major college football with Will. There were some comments lobbied back and forth between Coach Fisher and Coach Saban, saying some pretty ugly things. Deion Sanders kind of got in the middle of it, and he's throwing some heat back at Saban. I think he's doing it with a little bit more tact than Jimbo Fisher did, but still some really ugly things going on. The SEC commissioner having to throw down the gauntlet, basically publicly reprimanding, and then putting a silence across the board for the SEC. We'll talk about that, why that thing's heating up, and if there's really a lot of backbone to it with Will. That's all coming up next, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joe Ingles, former Jazz man, current Blazer swing man. Do you jam up Quinn on whether he's going to sign an extension or not? Use your unique sense of humor.
Quinn and I have a probably unique relationship for a player coach. There's probably two or three coaches I've had, and he's at the top, that had given me the confidence to do what I did for 7.5 years, but also to be able to, like, talk to him about anything and be a friend over a coach. And if Quinn was here, like, it would make a very strong case for me wanting to come back. If Quinn was somewhere else, it'd make a strong case for me wanting to go wherever he is. But I don't know what Quinn's plan is or are. I mean, I hope for Utah and for the community and for the team, I hope he stays, because he is one of the best coaches I've ever had on court and off court, and it would be a shame to lose him.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team. Made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future, because more and more people are doing it.
You
music comes on, people start to dance, but then you ate so much. There you go, Nick Saban talking about what's happening in name, image, and likeness, and what schools are doing. You know, they're putting together these pools, and he's accused Jimbo Fisher of doing it, as well as others, putting together pools and recruiting. But Will, and by the way, Will Snowden, former BYU running back, my old teammate, does a great job here in the state with recruits, knows the college sports landscape like nobody's business here, and not just here, but nationally, constantly placing recruits with him. But Will, isn't Nick Saban having to do exactly what Jimbo's having to do, which is exactly what everybody else is having to do, which is compete?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty interesting that he – What was most interesting to me is I do think that Saban wasn't even trying to throw a low blow. I don't think he was. I think he was explaining where college football is today. Right? He wasn't saying, you know,
Jimbo's dirty.
He's saying this is what Jimbo did, and it does bother him not to be the number one. The guy is a psychopath. He really is. You don't win the way he wins. And what Jimbo's saying is true. I've spoken to a lot of the coaches who have coached for him, and the way that he handles his business, it's very, very aggressive. And so it's very unprofessional what's happening between these guys. But obviously it's very entertaining for us to see there's really no love lost from Jimbo, and Coach Saban. Now I'm interested to see how Deion handles it because, Deion is going to come. Obviously, there's some frustration there from Deion. I think he truly is frustrated. So when you look at that triangle of the guys, I think Deion's frustrated because of what he's trying to build and what the HBCU means in this country, right? So when a young African-American male decides to go to an HBCU, it's not shocking that I do think the number one recruit in the country who went to Jackson State, there was some opportunity for him to make money, without a doubt. But also there is an opportunity for a cornerback to play for Deion Sanders and be coached by Deion Sanders. We've talked about it a lot. Deion has sniffed around with my son. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up offering him a scholarship. We're going to look at that because, number one, it's a great school, but more importantly, Deion Sanders will be coaching your son who plays corner, and he's one of the greatest corners who've ever played the game.
Isn't Trevor Riley out there with him?
Yeah, it's quite a staff, you know. So it's yeah. There's some
yeah. Our Trevor Riley, yeah,
yeah. So there's a lot of there's just a lot of things where I think Deion felt attacked a little bit because they talked about that kid who signed with Jackson State, and then obviously. I don't understand. And Jimbo, I don't know why he's getting upset because you did. I mean, you put together deals for these guys. For example, the quarterback who signed with who signed with Ohio State out of high school, then he transferred, and he went early, then he transferred, he went to Texas. Do not think that kid doesn't have NIL deals, NIL money, and the University of Texas is going to involve with helping him get that. And that's how it should be. At the end of the day, players have played this game for a long time at a high level. I was a role player, so I wouldn't have been a high NIL guy. But a guy like Hans Olsen would have been a high NIL guy because of who you were in the community and what and your talents.
Last name was big.
You look at Jimmer Fredette.
NFL last
Jimmer name. Fredette would have been worth so much money in college. It's not even, it's sickening. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, I'm not mad at the NIL. And I understand, and it's taken me a while to get very comfortable with it. But yes, I do think that schools are going to have to really bite the bullet to identify what they want to do. And alumni are going to have to come together and decide, hey, how important is it for us to compete in this business?
Will, it feels like it's really pushing us towards a new era of college football where we're going to see a reorganized governing body of teams that come together and say, we'll govern this. You know, 64 teams coming together say, we'll govern this. Doesn't it feel like the NCAA, it feels like it's going to be abandoned. And it feels like there's going to be a new governing body of the guys that are swinging the biggest bats in the country when it comes to college football. Don't you feel like that's coming our way pretty quickly?
Well, you know, I'm hearing this and I'm feeling it. I'm hoping not, but I'm just hoping that when the big dogs come in, that the teams that I'm highly interested are part of that big dog group, right? So I do think you're going to see some major changes in college football over the next 3 years. It's just an attempt
to manage the transfer portal and name image and likeness.
Yeah, and just to control it all.
Have you noticed that it's breaking some of these coaches? Like it's like Nick Saban, he can't handle this. Like losing some control because players are making money and players now have the opportunity to transfer if they want. You know, back in our day, we held zero control.
Zero.
We signed, we played for 5 years. Or, you know, we signed, we were there for 5 years or 4 years or whatever until we either got the NFL opportunity or until our eligibility was up. That was it.
Or if you transferred, you were sitting.
But now players have a little bit of control.
Yeah,
you know, they're like, hey, by the way, I'm making $550,000 or I'm making $1.2 million and I'll transfer on you.
Yeah. And also, and or I'm not even making that much money, but I'm not going to be treated like crap. That's another thing. Like coaches are having to really manage how they speak to these young men. I think it's going to change the way that coaches have to address their players, right? Because at the end of the day, these kids can leave, and if it's someone who can play, they're not going to have a problem getting picked up. It's just not going to happen. I've dealt with the transfer portal quite a bit with a few of my guys who've transferred, and you know it's been a process. And but at the end of the day, if you can play, you will be picked up quickly. And it's just crazy. So yes, the players do have control. The only concern that I have about the control that the players have is: are you educated enough? Don't just make emotional decisions.
Yeah.
You have to sit
you're
back
seeing some of that.
Because you're seeing a lot of that,
and it's hurting kids.
It will hurt the kids. The coaches are going to be okay. They're contracted up. They're getting paid. And sometimes it can end up affecting the kids and very negatively.
How many guys do we now have sitting in the portal that don't have – they left a scholarship and they don't have an opportunity? Is it like 800?
Probably more. It's a good amount of guys
that gave
waiting.
Up a scholarship and they're just sitting there like, anybody?
Yeah.
Anybody?
And a lot of guys have left scholarships and then they had to walk on.
Would you ever suggest to a kid that is riding a scholarship but has a coach that's ornery or has a situation he's three deep – and he's been there 2 years, but he doesn't have an opportunity. Would you ever encourage a kid to leave his current scholarship?
I never jump
into the portal and just check, just see. Maybe.
Yeah, no.
You either have an opportunity or you don't go in, right?
Yeah. Or you're willing to step down. So for example, if you play for the University of Utah and you've been there for 2 years, you're in the two deep or three deep, you're struggling to get on the field, you've got a lot of practice film, you've played well in practice, you've got your spring games, and you were a decently highly recruited kid, you'll probably get another opportunity at a D1 level. If you're jumping that portal, you have to be willing to maybe step down to the FCS level or the Division II level. And that's the question. Do you want to play? Are you – because a lot of times, you know, that's the level you need to be at where you're really needed. A lot of kids make the decision to go to college based on the logo. And so, for example, if you go to the University of Alabama, your goal can't be – you can have the goal of starting as a freshman, but you might be sitting behind some guys for a few years. So if you're not comfortable sitting behind some guys, don't buy the story that you're just going to be starting as the first day you get there. And I don't care who you are. Every college teams have talented players. Weber State is loaded with talent.
Loaded.
It's loaded with talent.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just don't understand that. They don't understand how talented these guys are. They've put several guys in the NFL over the last 5 years. Southern Utah has taken a beating for the last 4 years. It has not been good. They just had a guy get drafted in the fifth round. He will stick. He will be
really
playing
good.
For the Chicago Bears.
Great lineman.
So at the end of the day, the talent is everywhere. And so the real thing is, and now NIL and just where recruiting is, and also, you know, Alpha does great things here in Utah, but so does Level Up Elite. There's so many people who are actually doing things that are training and making players better just
here in
the state.
And trying to provide awareness to the kids.
Yes, we're trying to give them awareness.
Kids' eyes need to be open because if they go in with uneducated, they could get caught up in this.
Majorly.
And make some bad decisions.
Yeah, and make some bad decisions. And still, we have to focus on the most important thing, which is the education. You're there to get the education. Even if you get some NIL money, it's not going to last you your whole life unless you're, you know, a 4 or 5 star kid.
So, Will, I get irritated. I actually had somebody say to me because they were trying to defend the name, image, and likeness and transfer portal, which it's fine. You know, those are giving leverages to the college kids. But they said to me, well, it's just like NFL or NBA free agency. No, it's not. I want to stop that because it isn't. Because in NBA and NFL free agency, if I've got a free agent coming up, I'm going to manage your contract. I'm either going to trade you or I'm going to resign you.
Yep.
But I'm not going to lose you for nothing. Colleges are losing these kids for nothing. They don't get an opportunity to say, oh, wait. Okay, hold on. I'm going to call up Alabama. I'm at least going to get a kicker and a long snapper for you.
Yeah.
You know, these kids go. It is not free agency.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. I never thought about it because I was actually agreeing. It is it's a form of free agency, but not.
It's not.
But
because these guys are late. You are losing major assets.
Major.
To your university. It can handicap you to lose the wrong guy.
Without a doubt. And also, I mean, and also besides that, you – If you're losing your main guy, a mainstay, you know, starter, you look at Oklahoma, you know, you lose your number one and number two quarterback. That's a big deal. But at least you're Oklahoma, and the next guy who's going to come in should be pretty.
But
it's high level.
But it seems like that should have beat you up pretty good.
It causes so many things. The biggest thing that concerns me about the transferring and the portal and all of it is just your ability to build the locker room. You know, because it's in that way, hands there. I mean, what did we see Utah drop after spring ball? 15, 16, 17, 18, 20 guys jumped in the portal.
Yeah, Utah.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know what the number was at BYU, but I don't know what the number was at Utah State. It's pretty high. I mean, guys are jumping in that portal and leaving. So for me, the thing that
Of no-name guys that people wouldn't
yeah.
But there are a few
But when it's a big one, it's hard to just keep that camaraderie. So the coaches have to do a much better job, and then also they have to have their eye and their finger on that portal every day. Any coach who's not looking at the portal every single morning is behind. Because you have to be thinking, well, this guy who's the backup, he's right on the edge of leaving.
Yeah.
This guy who's the backup is right on the edge of leaving. This guy. So you've got to be watching to see what's available
right. That
you can actually replace. For example, let me just – like Hawaii. Ahead. I don't know what the Hawaii number was, but it was somewhere around 35 to 40 kids jumped in the portal right after this last season. It's a lot.
Yeah. They're like, we don't even have a stadium. We're going to go where we
start. Their starting quarterback gone.
Yeah.
And he has NFL aspirations and talent.
It's Will Snowden, former BYU running back. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll wrap things up, get you ready for Unrivaled. But a few more things in regards to recruiting, what you need to know about the ever-changing landscape of college football. That's all coming up.
Top 60 and 60. Every summer, you hear the selections on the top 60 and 60, and every summer you think to yourself, man, these guys are idiots.
Are we cheering for idiots?
Okay, smart guy, now's your time to shine. Go to KSLSports.com for the top 60 and 60 fan vote, where you can rank the 60 best college football players in Utah.
It doesn't make you better than me.
This year, the Zone will include your votes with the media selections to determine the best players in the state. Voting ends on June 1st, so go to KSLSports.com. It's the top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back, Hanson Scotty. Will Snowden, former BYU running back and now owner, operator of Alpha Recruits. I'm sure if you watch anything football here in the state, you'll see the Alpha across the shirt and does a lot of 7-on-7s and camps and trainings and has a lot of fun. I wanted to ask you really quick. You saw Tennessee bought out BYU, the contract. BYU canceled things with Utah State. They're moving on. What is in your opinion, and we don't have a lot of time, what's BYU's best formula for scheduling right now?
Well, you know, I think that one thing that has been proven to me is that the gentleman who's handling all of that knows what he's doing. So for me, what I think, I think BYU has to be a little bit fluffier earlier on in the season.
Yeah,
they're going to have to be fluffier earlier on in the season. Yes, it
tied it up a bit.
Yeah, let's throw those knee braces on extra, like, because now we're understanding. You know, we don't need to open up with Tennessee. You don't need to open up with the Irish. You don't. I mean, that's not the direction that you need to go. Now, as you know, as the program continues to build in the Big 12, you'll see it will get better. But I'm hoping it'll be a little bit more fluffy at the beginning, which is not great for the fans because you're not going to watch the games that you were used to watching early on in the season at home.
Are you getting a feel at all that Texas and Oklahoma will continue to be in the Big 12 when BYU enters into 2023, or do you think that they're going to jump when the four come in? Or the new three come in?
I don't know. I think they're supposed to be in there as of right now in 2025.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they stay.
It'd be fun for BYU to have Oklahoma and Texas in a conference with them for a bit.
It would be great. And also, but it depends on a little bit what we were talking about earlier. Texas is one of the powers that be.
Yeah.
Oklahoma is one of the powers that be.
Absolutely.
So we're going to see what they're doing with the NCAA, because you might end up seeing some major realignment. And that's just the reality of this. There can be some major realignment.
And that's why I think they left the small pond as a big fish to jump into a big pond as a medium-sized fish.
Because, I mean, the writing's all over the wall. Why would Oklahoma
– They know something. So
I'm just going to sit back, enjoy watching football, enjoy trying to mentor these kids and families, and help them identify how to chase the right schools, the schools that want you, need you, have the lead academics for you, and give you an opportunity to go chase your dreams. So, but yeah, I'm going to watch pretty closely, Hans. It is very interesting. I'm hoping they will be there. And if they are, it's a good sign. But I think it's just a sign of, hey, it's not happening yet. So you just stay home, mm-hmm. do what you're doing, play this conference but they're going to kind of be who I'm watching.
What's the best way to check out your info?
So alpharecruits.com, you can contact us there. You can follow us on Instagram is Alpha Recruits. And then our Twitter is Alpha Recruits as well. I think it's Will Snowden, but it's at Alpha Recruits 15. So you can hit us on all of those. If you have a kid who's interested in trying to play college football, I will tell you, a lot of people say this. Oh, yeah, the scouts will find you. That is true. The scouts do find the 4- and 5-star kids. If your son's not a 4- and 5-star kid, he needs to be developed. He needs to be educated. He needs help. That's the reality of it all. If your son's a 4- or 5-star, they're going to find him. But as you know, in the country, there's 32 5-stars. 32.
Out of millions of kids.
Yeah. Millions of kids. So the reality is, yes, it's a big pool of talent. And so it's just about knowing how to go through this, what camps to be at, how to really manage this deal, because there are so many kids who can play, but they just don't know the steps to take. And there's a lot of different ways to do it.
This isn't the rodeo that you and I grew up in.
It's a totally different world. Yeah. It's a totally different world. So we look forward to it. And also, let me announce
big
one thing.
Money.
We're just getting ready to drop our Alpha Verified program, where we'll be hosting major combines, and we will be pushing all of this information to every school in the country. So Division 1, 1AA, Division 2, Division 3, NAIA, and all JUCOs.
All the way down in JCAAs.
And they'll all have access to every piece of information about your son. So be looking for that. We'll be putting that out through our social media channels.
You're my brother, man. Appreciate you, Will.
Appreciate you, Hans.
Yeah, everything you do. That's Will Snowden, former BYU running back. Appreciate him hanging out with us through the 2 o'clock hour. If you didn't hear Craig Bowlerjack, if you didn't get to hear Bob Casper, all of those interviews are going to be up at KSLSports.com. Remember, get out there, vote on the 60 in 60, and this is your last chance. Follow you back Friday. If you're on Instagram, follow Lloyd and I. We'll follow you back. That's 975Hants on Instagram and Lloyd Colzone. This is your last chance on this Friday to be followed back for the Follow Back Friday. Big thanks to all of you for listening. We'll see you next week. 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.